Lord, and even more importantly so than not just being here, but there's a honor and a graciousness to have the opportunity to be able to share the word of the Lord as well. So before we begin, I'm just going to ask that we just bow our heads together and pray, if just for a moment. Father God, thank you. Lord, thank you for being here in this house. Lord, thank you for the weeks that we've had, Lord. Lord, thank you if it was a week that we absolutely loved and would love to do it again. God, thank you for the week that was just, but we made it through anyway. And God, thank you for the week that we had to scratch and claw to get through. Because God, through all three of those different scenarios, you were there. You were there in the highs. Lord, you're there in the middling, and you're there in the low. And so God, here in this time, this place, Lord, whatever is maybe ailing us, whatever may be holding us back, Lord, from your presence here this morning, Lord, we cast it before you. Lord, whether it's a situation, whether that we have to deal with, whether at the job or at home, Lord, this time belongs to you. And so, God, honor and redeem this time, Father. Lord, be with these words here that have been prepared. Lord, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Be with your people so that they can hear and understand and receive your word and be encouraged and yet challenged to go and act, Father, because we need your presence in order to change the world. And this, Lord, we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. So his presence. For the last 2 months, we've been talking about his presence and how we can cultivate Christ's presence in our lives. This is foundational to our lives as a Christian. Why? Because without his presence, we don't have an identity. Without his presence, we don't have a direction. Without his presence, we don't have peace and we don't have power. His presence brings us joy and peace and an affirmation of our assignment. Through his presence, we experience his power to make a difference, first in us and then those around us. Through his presence, we can fulfill our duty on earth, the reason why we exist, to make disciple makers for Jesus Christ. So how do we do this? How do we cultivate God's presence in our lives? We need to think of him, converse with him, and ultimately surrender to him. And we discuss how the spiritual disciplines play a part in all of that. We've discussed meditation, then prayer, and last week with submission. Last week, as a little bit of a recap, it was said that our submission is to be thoughtfully considered. Our submission is to be daily. And submission is for our benefit. So that really struck a chord with me as far as submission, and that is thoughtfully considered, and that is daily. Yeah, I would even say moment by moment, and that it is to our benefit. And so when thinking about all of that, I had to ask myself, well, God, what is it that I need to be submitting over to you? And while everyone or a lot of people would talk about their hands, submit your actions, your bodies to Christ, I would take it even back a little bit further. Before we can submit our hands to Christ, we must first submit our minds to Christ. And so that's what I want to talk about here today. I want to talk about submitting our minds to Christ through our righteous mind. And so the scripture I would like to be using here today, if you can, turn, swipe, navigate your way there, also be on the screens there as well, to Colossians 3. And we're just going to read the first 17 verses of it. So Colossians 3, 1 through 17. When you're there, say amen. Give me a head nod. Let me know before we continue. I still hear pages turning, so I'll give a moment. Amen. All right. Colossians 3, I'm reading from the King James Version. It reads so. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about our minds, and I want to start there. Let's talk about our minds. A famous verse you guys may be familiar with is Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. They may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is warfare. Every single day, every moment, we are engaging in a spiritual warfare. And the battlefield where this war is fought is in the field of our mind. The way we think directly influences the things we say and do. Luke 6 and 45 says, and a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So there's a story. There's this old man, this Cherokee. He's talking with his grandson about life. He says, a fight is going on inside me. It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He is angry, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. You then continue to say that the other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. And the same fight goes on within you and inside every other person too. And the boy thought about it for a moment. He asked his grandfather, well, which wolf will win? His grandfather simply said, the one you feed. The one you feed. So my question is this, which wolf are you feeding? Because you have the same fight going on within you. The evil wolf or the good wolf? Listen, everything in the world, in case you didn't know, is geared to feed the evil wolf. Okay, you got some question marks on your face. So I'm going to help you out just a little bit, okay? 1 John 2:16 says this, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. So everything out there is geared to feed the evil wolf. So what are you doing to feed the good wolf? So even before we get there, there's another question we got to ask, is what influences our mind? What can influence the things that we think about on a day-to-day basis? Acts 4:20 says this, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I want to read that again. For we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. So you see three words are highlighted, speak, seen, and heard. Remember earlier we talked about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's your speak. The way you think is evidenced by the things you speak and the things you do. And those are influenced by the things which we have seen and heard. And so I've made a little equation. Some people like math. Some people, who hates math? I'm sorry. Well, you know what? I'll be honest. It's a real easy one. It's addition. We can add, right? Put it up. Our mind equals our eyes, our ears, and the people of influence. So you say that last one, the people of influence, that wasn't in the verse before. Well, the reason why they're there is because the people we hold as influence, they directly impact the things we see and hear. There's a picture I saw online, and I want to show it to you, if you can put that up. I don't know if you can see it, but I will read it for you, because I have it big on my side. It says, you are the books you read, the movies you watch, the music you listen to, the people you spend time with, the conversations you engage in. Choose wisely what you feed your mind. Let's say it together. I am the books I read, the movies I watch, the music I listen to, the people I spend time with, the conversations I engage in. So I, in God's stead, say, choose wisely what you feed your mind. Choose wisely what you feed your mind. So, let's talk about that first one. Your eyes. You are what you look at. We just said it. You are what you look at. Colossians 3:1-2 say, if ye then be risen with Christ, Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not things on the earth. So, simple question. What do you spend your time looking at? I did some studies, I looked at some studies into this, and I found that the average person spends over 4 hours per day on their phone. And of that 4 hours they spend on their phone a day, they spend an average of 2 hours and 22 minutes on social media. For those of you that may not like phones, I understand some people aren't with that. So if you like watching TV, well, adults, those that are 18 and above, they spend 4 hours and 46 minutes a day watching television. Remember what we just said earlier. Everything in the world is geared to feed the evil wolf. So while I'm not saying it's bad to watch TV or be on your phone, what are you looking at when you're on those mediums? What are you looking at on your social media? Is it things that will edify your spirit, or are the things that will build up your flesh? How about television? Are you watching The Real Housewives and name one. I don't know them. Atlanta. Love and Hip Hop. See, y'all watch them. See, you walked right into it. You know. So what are you watching? What are you looking at? And so for those who have an iPhone, and if you don't, I'm sorry. Talk to me after service. I'll even pay for your iPhone. No, I won't. See, somebody was going to take me up on that offer. So let me watch myself before I get roped into something I can't do. Anyway, so there's this thing called My Screen Time. And you can actually take a look and see what exactly, well, how long you're actually on your phone and what exactly you take the time looking at while you're on your phone. So this right up here, this is my activity. I took this last night before today. And as you can see, I spend almost 5 hours a day on my phone, which is 8% higher than last week. And you see the breakdown, what it is I look at, mainly on YouTube, message some people, and on Instagram as well. And so when I was looking at that, and those who have an iPhone, whenever you have the opportunity, take a look, see what it is that you're looking at. And ask yourself, well, when I'm on these mediums, what am I looking at when I'm on there? For me, the highest one was YouTube, and I listen to a lot of preaching, so I just put it on YouTube and just let it run throughout the day. It's a way that I get to feed my spirit. I listen to a couple of different preachers, but also I listen to some other things too. I watch funny videos and love video games, so I'll watch some of that as well. But I have to be mindful of the things that I look at. And I implore the same to you. Psalm 101:3 says this, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. The things you look at will absolutely cleave to you. They will absolutely cleave to you. Do not believe or think the things I watch and see have no effect on me. Oh, yes, they do. And in time, it will come out because of the things that you see. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So our second one, let's talk about our ears. What are we listening to? What are we listening to? Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Again, I looked at some studies at this one as well. You know, the average person listens to about 4.5 hours per day of just music. You know, you listen to it in the car, you listen to it when you work out, if you work out, you listen to it just leisurely around the house or wherever it is you are. We take in a lot of music. But have we thought and considered what it is, the message that these people are putting into us through these songs? Again, not saying music is a bad thing, but does its message line up with who it is that we are supposed to be? If you didn't know, music is a teacher. Music is a teacher. Even that song there will teach. Let's look at the verse one more time. I got some words highlighted here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Did you know the Psalms were meant to teach us? They were meant to be sang, actually. And they were meant to teach us about God's word. The hymns. I love me some of them hymns. Anyway, don't mind me. All right. And also spiritual songs as well are all meant to teach us. Think of it like this, right? For those that don't believe that music is a teacher, try saying your ABCs. You'll notice as you say them, you're gonna start singing the song. You know, so I want to test this out. So earlier this week, I just asked somebody, hey, can you just say the ABCs for me and try not to sing the song? And as they said the ABCs, those part where the cadence starts to change, like LMNOP, you could visibly see they had to slow down. Before they started saying, L-M-N-O-P. I was like, huh? And I just smiled and laughed because I'm like, that proves it. Music is a teacher. Or conjunction junction, for those that know that. What's your function? What is its function? I'm playing. But you get the idea. Those are just benign ways that music teaches us. So I call and ask you to reevaluate your playlist. Go back and actually look and see, is this a song that I really want to be listening to? I know a lot of times now, especially with the hip hop, it's like, oh, I really don't listen to the words, I just listen to the beat. I love the beat. It's like, no, you know the words are still getting in you, right? The words are still getting in, even though you may not be paying attention to the words, they're getting inside of you, which is why you can hear a song, not hear it for some time, and you just find yourself, I hear a song in the grocery store, and I find myself later on just humming it. I'm like, how'd that get in there? It sticks to you. Or a song that you haven't heard in 5, 10, some people 20 years, and then the song comes on, and then you can sing the song like you just heard it yesterday. It has an impact on you. It is one of the things that we hear. So what are we listening to? So what do we talk about? Our mind is influenced by the things that we see and hear. Everything that comes out of us is evidence of the things that we've seen and heard. And so we talked about the things we look at. What are the images, what are the sights, the visuals that we are putting in front of me? What are we spending our time on our phones? Where do we spend, what are the books that we're reading? What are the magazines that we look at? What are the television shows we watch at home? Talked about our ears. What are we listening to? What are the songs that we're listening to? What are the messages that we're listening to, whether it be speeches or whatever the nature? What are we listening to? And lastly, part of that equation are the people of influence. It was said earlier, We don't live these lives by ourselves. We are not a silo. Whether you like it or like to believe it or not, there are people that influence us each and every day. We are a direct result of who we esteem to be an influence. It doesn't necessarily have to be your parents. It could be a teacher. It could be a colleague, a co-worker. It could be someone at the church. Whoever it is, we all esteem somebody as an influence. So who influences you? Who influences you? Proverbs 13 and 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare in your soul." To thy soul is what the verse actually says. So who's influencing you? Who are the people in our circle that we esteem to be an influence? Now, I'm not saying, again, that I can't be around those that don't know Christ, but these should not be the people that hold a place of influence. We are to be their influence versus the other way around. I remember I had a conversation a couple of years ago, right in the back there after service, with some individuals that hold a great deal of influence. And I just told them one thing. I think I read them a verse. I don't remember what it was. But I told them to be an influence and not influenced. In the arena where you are an influence to a lot of people. And so you are to be an influence in every single space you are. And so I say the same to each and every one of you. Be an influence and not influenced. Because whether you know it or not, there are people watching you. There are people watching you, and they hold you as an influence. So what are the messages that you're sending to them? Are you, by your actions, by your words, are you getting them closer to Christ or having them grow more so in Christ? Or are you a conduit to feed the other wolf? Something to think about. And so, let's put it all together. Let's summarize everything just so bite-sized pieces you can walk away with and you can share with somebody. Number one, we said the way we think directly influences what we say and do. Number two, we said, you are what you look at. Number three, you are what you listen to. And number four, you are the people that you spend time with. So this week, ask that you take some time just to evaluate the following. Is my mind submitted to Christ? What do I spend my time looking at? What do I spend my time listening to? And who are my influences? We have to retrain our minds to look at, to desire the things of God. We have to retrain our eyes, we have to retrain our ears, and we have to evaluate the people that are around us. Why? Because it's been the foundation of everything we've talked about so far. We can't pray right unless our mind is right. We can't meditate the way we ought to meditate if our minds aren't right. In fact, we're actually meditating on the other stuff that we shouldn't be meditating upon. We want Christ's presence in each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. Who wants his power? Oh, that was weak. Nobody wants his power? And so that starts with your mind. Remember this acorn. Remember this acorn. We are this acorn here. And what it is that we look at, the things we hear, and those that are around us will determine whether this seed is planted in the ground, grows to an oak tree, and then reproduces to make other oak trees as well, or whether this seed will be eaten by a squirrel, or left to the wayside, or rot from the inside out. That choice belongs directly to you. And you make that choice every single day by the things you look at, the things you hear, and by the people you have around you. You are what you see, you are what you hear, and you are the people who you surround yourself with. So if I haven't convinced you yet, consider this. Why we need to pay attention to the things we look at, the things we hear, and those that are around us, because those things directly influence our thoughts. And not only do they influence our thoughts, they influence the words we say. Not only do they influence our thoughts, they influence our words, but they influence the things we do. And not only do they influence our thoughts, our words, and the things we do, they influence the habits we form. And not only do they influence our thoughts, our words, our actions, our habits, but these things are the things that become our character. They become who you are. And not only do they influence our thoughts, our words, our actions, our habits, our character, but they will influence our destiny. They will influence whether you become the tree God has designed you to be or whether you will fall by the wayside. So the choice is yours. We want his presence. And it's only through his presence that we can renew our mind by the things we look at, the things we hear, and those that are around us. Amen. We're standing. Amen.